Good morning. I'm used to the pulpit, so you always had that shelter of somebody tossing something at you. So, my name is John Petoskey, for those of you who don't know me. I'm a member of the board here at Mountain View Community Church. I want to thank the pastor and board for allowing me to stand in for him today. And of course, thank you for allowing me to share with you a little of what we can learn from the short letter Paul intended for Philemon. Our text today is Philemon. It's found on page 1860 of the Pew Bibles. Along with Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon is of the prison epistles. It's the shortest of the four. But for such a short letter, there is so much to pull from it. If you've heard anyone preach from Philemon, chances are you heard a message about forgiveness, a word that won't actually appear in our text today. Of course, that is the core theme of Philemon, but there are several others, say subtopics, that surround the core that I would also like to tap into with you today. The letter, intended first for Philemon, but also for his family and church, was probably saved under Paul's ministry at Ephesus. Philemon was a seemingly well-off person, since, as we'll read, he owned his own residence that probably served as a house church. Philemon owned at least one slave that we know of, Onesimus, who, from what we can gather from our passage, probably stole from Philemon and then made his way to Rome, where Paul, who was imprisoned, and became a Christian under Paul's guidance. In his imprisonment, Paul grew fond of Onesimus and was served by him in valuable ways. Since Paul knew that Onesimus had fled from Philemon, Paul set to have him sent back to Colossae. This letter is sent with them to urge Philemon to restore Onesimus. So if you wouldn't mind, I'll read through the whole of Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, also to Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his holy people, and your faith in Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is none other than Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one thing more, prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. These are the words of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for granting us this space to worship, this book to learn from you. We pray that through it, we each can draw nearer to you while still being here to serve you, to offer our praises and hallelujahs and give you glory. For love's sake, amen. For love's sake seems like an odd end to a prayer, but it's very appropriate for today's text. Let's walk through and see what we can learn through the verses together. Paul starts off in verses 4 through 7. I always thank my God and remember you in my prayers because I hear about your love for all his holy people and for your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. It reads, I remember you in my prayers. So it's not surprising that Paul tells us that he prays for Philemon often. Intercession should be the very heart of our very spirit. Philippians 4 says, let your requests be known to God. This letter expresses that Paul has learned of his care for the church through his faith in the Lord, Jesus, and his love for his holy people. Faith and love, two attributes that characterize Philemon, directed by Christ, and seen in the outworking of his holy people, his sanctified, his set apart ones, his consecrated, his saints, yes, his saints, in the service of who? God. Verse 6 follows with this, I pray that your partnership, in my version, the New American Standard, it has the word fellowship. The Greek word here is koinonia. This is the mutual sharing of life, their faith being bolstered day in and day out, leading to fuller knowledge of the Christian life, for Christ's sake, unto Christ, in his service, for his glory. In verse 7, Paul shares of his joy and encouragement in Philemon's love and faith. It brings him happiness and comfort, and it goes on to say that the church's heart is refreshed, in that the heart, being the seat of the churches and the Christians' very being, is rejuvenated in a military sense to battle on another day. We'll read on through 8 through 16. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is as none other than Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he's become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I'm in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. In verse 8, Paul entreats with Philemon rather than impose his authority over Philemon, which he was well within his right to do. Paul appeals to him. He appeals to his sense of love. He says, on the basis of love, or for love's sake, as we prayed earlier, for love's sake. 1 John 4:7 reads, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. As I studied for today, two words popped up that you might hear from a pulpit of old, but are still valid today. Befitting and beseeches. Paul, if applying his authority, could have ordered an action befitting of a believer. You're a Christian, so act like it. But instead, he beseeches Philemon. He pleads to his goodwill to do the proper thing. He exhorts him to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord. God gave us the choice to do what is right. Look down through the pipe, down through the Bible. People often misuse their choices. And how did it pan out for them? Not very well. In verse 11, Paul goes a little tongue-in-cheek. Here he says to Onesimus, once useless, has become the useful under Paul's guidance, knowing that the name Onesimus means useful. Onesimus was radically transformed. Verse 12 shares, in sending Onesimus back to Colossae, he is sending my very heart. In through Onesimus, Paul is sending himself. All Paul is in Onesimus. This being the case, in verses 13 and 14, Paul would have liked to keep Onesimus with him as an asset in ministry, but could not, knowing that he was Philemon's bondservant. Paul wanted to once again share with Philemon the good deeds are most acceptable to God and to man when freely performed. Paul wanted Philemon to make up his own mind and be willing, not manipulated. As Christians, we want to do Christian things without being Christianed into doing them. Hey, you know you're a Christian, so you better do this. 15 opens with the word perhaps. In other words, consider this. This separation between Philemon and Onesimus, stemming from the sin and eventual fleeing of Onesimus, was for good. God often brings gain to his people out of their loss. It may not be perceived immediately, but in his divine design, the fruit will result. I was speaking with a friend the other day who has had some major health issues. And in our little chat, she explained, out of all these health trials and difficult relations with her children, her daughter had become such a prayer, every day sharing with her mom their appeals to God for continued recovery. God uses the faults and failures of us to accomplish his purposes, really revealing his blessings and grace. In 16, we see the loss of a slave is repaid by the gain of a brother. No longer would the relationship of Philemon or Onesimus be of that master and servant, but of brother and brother, reconciled through Christ. This is the fellowship of believers. 17 reads, so if you consider me a partner, there's that word again, partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. Here at Mountain View, we don't hold member classes. We have partner classes. For Christians, for partners, it's not you do you and I'll do me. In the church, it's we do each other. We have an interest in each other. We invest in each other, disciple each other. We share experiences. We love one another. Christians can say we've been through a lot together. We'll close out our passage today with what Paul leaves us in verses 18 through 20. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. 18 is where we draw that Onesimus' sin against Philemon must have been due to a theft of some money or misuse of funds. Paul says, if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, fleeing was wrong in and of itself, and if he hadn't committed some sort of theft or stolen the money, then he wouldn't have fled. So Onesimus has these against him. Paul goes on to say that anything Onesimus owes, a loss of service, loss of valuables, and money, charge it to my account. Paul wants to cover the debt, pay restitution, cover the debt owed, so that Philemon could be free to offer forgiveness to Onesimus, following the example of Jesus reconciling sinners to God. Hebrews 7:22, so much the more also Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. And in verse 19, Paul states, in my own hand. He uses this phrase several times in scriptures to say, this is my promise. Don't doubt my intention to repay. And he contends that Philemon, saved through faith under the teaching of Paul, has a debt he cannot repay. Paul expresses to Philemon that it is his hope to benefit, grow, and be edified, that his heart may be reinvigorated, be rejuvenated in Christ. Christians do that which make each other's hearts rejoice. The commentator Matthew Henry says, good ministers love not so much according to the outward good which they receive as according to the spiritual good which they do. For some application, let me tie together a few words and ideas that we've seen through this passage. The first, forgiveness. As I said earlier, although the word is never actually mentioned today, it is true of today's passage that it is about forgiveness. The forgiveness of Christ to Paul, Philemon, and Onesimus, man being reconciled to man and God. Forgiveness is the requirement of the Christian. How do we forgive? Not 70 times, but 70 times 7. We just forgive. We all know, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we what? Forgive those who trespass against us. The Christian must always welcome back the one who sinned and fled against them. Matthew 5:24, first be reconciled to your brother, and 2 Corinthians 5:19 says that God has committed us to the word of reconciliation. So if I could just add this with regard to forgiveness and ask, what of the alternative? What if we harbor unforgiveness? If we hold on to unforgiveness, it robs us of the full life God intends for us. Unforgiveness results in bitterness. Hebrews 12:14-15 warns, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root rises up to cause trouble and defile. When we forgive, we release that person for their indebtedness to us. We relinquish any motive for revenge stemming from bitterness. We avoid certain trouble and turn that person over to God. Now to love. Let me contend that forgiveness and reconciliation that we read of through Philemon could not be possible if it were not for love. Phil Robertson, of Duck Dynasty fame, who recently went on to be with the Lord, impacted me some time back with a very short statement. Phil said that the world, quote, has a love deficit. The deficit is the world completely without the agape love that we all know and share. It's evident in today's headlines. That's why the world is tearing itself up. From the world, we should expect trouble, but from each other, comfort, joy, and love. In our passages today, we saw the phrases about your love, and for love's sake. These are all how we offset that love deficit. The more love that appears in us, the more we see Christ in us. Grace and mercy would abound. In our Tuesday night Bible study, yes, we still meet at 6:45 on Tuesdays, location depending on the weather, Perkins or the Creamery, I'm sure. Anyway, we're in Proverbs, and Proverbs 10:12 says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all transgressions. Do you see it? If you're sinned against, no matter how great, forgiveness through the love of Christ, will cover it. 1 Peter 4:8 says, "Keep fervent on your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins." And lastly, sacrifice. This was exemplified in our passage today by Paul giving his word to pay the debts of Onesimus. This is Paul following the example of Jesus, stamping Onesimus' debt, paid in full. To friends and family among us that have yet to follow Jesus, we appeal to you in love, just as Paul beseeches Philemon to reconcile with Onesimus. Be reconciled unto God through his Son, Jesus, and the sacrifice he became for us, for love's sake. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Friend, repent and trust in him. For believers, we put this all together: love, forgiveness, reconciliation, sacrifice. Love, we love our neighbors as ourselves. Forgive, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgive each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Reconcile, we reconcile ourselves to each other and to our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. And sacrifice, we offer ourselves as living sacrifices acceptable to God. So here's the charge. Live the rest of your life loving the way God loves. Extend to your enemies love the way God extends love. It's no different because you can't improve on it. Show them kindness, goodness, compassion, and share with them the good news. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love and faith we share in Christ Jesus. Just as Paul encouraged Philemon, may we too refresh the hearts of the saints, walking in love, humility, and forgiveness. Teach us to receive one another, not as strangers, but as beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, restored, renewed, and united in your grace. Lord, as we go from this place, let your grace be with our spirits. May we continue to grow in fellowship, showing kindness and compassion, being ambassadors of reconciliation. To you be the glory now and forever. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.